Okay, I want to speak about four nakudais and explain all four nakudais, which are very varied nakudais. I want to explain all four nakudais with one yesod. One of the nakudais is something that we've discussed a number of times. Maybe the third one, you'll see, is something that we've discussed a number of times, but it'll be worth discussing again to bring into this context. Okay, Mayor, you'll see what I mean. Actually, something that we discussed a few days ago. Okay, so let's start from the beginning here. Okay? That's right. Ksubas, Masechta Ksubas, Daf Ayin Aleph. It says, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that describes this woman who's the subject of Megillas Shir HaShirim, and says, "Oz Hayisi, then I was Kemoitzes Shalom." Oz Hayisi Kemoitzes Shalom. I think it's Parak Ches in Shir HaShirim. Then it's the second half. Oz Hayisi Be'enav. Not sure about that, but maybe. I'm not going to look it up right now. But that's what the pasuk says. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan," that it's like, there's some chassanim here, you could appreciate this. It's like a woman who's in her father-in-law's house, or Rashi and Shir HaShirim says her husband's house, her new house, Bekitzer, and she's very happy. She's very bishalim. She's very bishleimus. She's good, it's working. And she's so bishalim, she's so comfortable in her father-in-law slash husband's house that she's redufa, that she feels a pressure to go back to her father's house to report to him how gishmak she is, lahagid shvacha, to say how fortunate she is. Isn't that a nice mara? Right? That, like, that idea. She gets married and she's so besimcha, like in her new house. It's like, I gotta tell my parents about this. And she feels redufa leilech lebeis avia lahagid shvach. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so that's beautiful. It's very nice. It kind of warms your heart. But what does it mean? What's the point of this? So the Marsha says, the Marsha takes the whole thing to the next level. The Marsha says that Chazal say about the beginning of this pasuk that it's referring to batei knesios and batei midrashos. A beis haknesses is a place of tefillah. A beis hamedrash is a place of Torah. In the times of the Gemara, they had separate places where they davened and where they learned. Okay, we don't have such an experience of that bezman hazeh because we learn where we daven and daven where we learn. So all our batei knesios, not all, but most of our batei knesios are batei midrashos, and almost all of our batei midrashos are batei knesios. But in concept, there are two different concepts. One is the makayim for tefillah, one is the makayim for Torah. And the Gemara is saying, Zokta Marsha, the Gemara is saying that the person there's a Gemara in Brachos, in the last Amud of Masechta Brachos, Daf Samach Dal and Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says that someone who goes from a Beis HaKnesses to a Beis HaMedrash is Zoyche V'roye Pnei Shechina. He's Zoyche to see the Shechina. Now, it doesn't even say to see the Shechina. I want to point out, he's Zoyche V'roye Pnei Shechina. That sounds very intimate, to see the Pnei Shechina, okay? So the father-in-law's house, or the husband's house, is like the Beis HaKnesses, says the Marsha. The father's house is like the Beis HaMedrash. And the Yid davens in a Beis HaKnesses, and then he goes to a Beis HaMedrash. It's like he's going from Beis HaKnesses to Beis HaMedrash. It says such big brachas about it, and that's what it means, going back to the father's house. That's what the Marsha says. This needs a pshat. This is unsatisfying, okay? It's intriguing, but it's not satisfying. Why? Because first of all, it doesn't explain what redufa is. Like, what's the pressure here? Second of all, why is the husband's house Beis HaKnesses and the father's house Beis HaMedrash? What does that mean? And why is it that it's a special thing to go from Beis HaKnesses to a Beis HaMedrash? What's the maila to that? So that's Inyan Aleph of four. Okay? Let's go to Inyan Beis. Inyan Beis is like this. The Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin, on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the last Daf in the first Perek of Kiddushin. The first Perek of Kiddushin, as you know, is a very, very, very long Perek. The second Perek starts on the 41st Daf. You know, it's a long Perek. But, and it's about halfway through the Masechet already, right? But on Daf Mem Amud Beis, there's a Gemara that brings Rabbi Akiva's response to Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon says that if you want to compare learning Torah to doing mitzvahs, which is fulfilling Torah, doing mitzvahs is more chashuv. That's what Reb Tarfon says. Rabbi Akiva retorts to that very strongly, and he says, no. Gadol Talmud shemevi lidei maisa. The learning is more chashuv because it brings to action. Now, I always struggled with this Gemara. This Gemara was always a big struggle for me. And the best way I have to express why this Gemara bothers me so much is by giving you a mashal. Imagine you would buy I'm getting a new car today. It's possible.
Tesla.
What?
Tesla?
No. No, my Shalari was machriya now. So Shalari is getting me a hybrid.
This actually happened today?
Get an extra $10 on the highway.
Yeah. And I need it took me $90 to fill up last week, so I'm desperate. I'm gonna be paying about $90 more a month once I switch. But I'm gonna be saving probably over $200 a month.
What type of car is it?
Same car.
How many miles?
Just a hybrid version.
Is it 90 years?
78,000.
2 years.
With COVID.
Right.
So, anyway. But why am I telling? Why did I just switch topics and start talking about buying a new car? Because when you get a new car, so then you have to learn the car, right? You have to learn it. There's a console, there's a computer in there, where's the cruise control, how do you do the lane assist, how do you set up the headlights, there's all kinds of settings that you need to learn it. So how do you learn it? So the way I learn it is that I ask Shalaria. But the standard way to learn it is to look in the manual, right, to look in the instructions. So let me ask you a question, okay? If I get a new car, and the way I know how to use the car is from reading the instructions. So which is the more chashuv part of the purchase? The instructions or the car? The car! Just because I read the instructions to know how to use the car doesn't make the instructions more important. That's ridiculous. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, Gadol Talmud she mevi lidei maisa? It's very nice that Talmud is mevi lidei maisa. Why does that make it more chashuv?
Even more so, he's saying instead of going to do mitzvahs, he's saying go learn in order that you can do mitzvahs, but then he's just going to say carry on learning instead of doing the mitzvahs anyway.
Well, that's a big issue that we'll talk about. We'll get there. Okay? We'll talk about that. Okay, that's Beis. Good? Gimel. Parshas Bamidbar. Let's talk about Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar, which is the introduction to Chumash Bamidbar, the very beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, which introduces Chumash Bamidbar, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, B'Oyel Moed. It gives two Mar Makaymas, Midbar Sinai and Oyel Moed. To the point that Chazal ask on that Pasuk, Im b'midbar Sinai, lama b'ayel mayid. Im b'ayel mayid, lama b'midbar Sinai. So why do I need both? Yeah, it's true, the ayel mayid was in the midbar. But if it's in the midbar, so say it was in the midbar, if that's your point. So why are you saying ayel mayid? If it's ayel mayid, why are you saying midbar? So Chazal say, no, no, the answer is that when it says Midbar Sinai, it's referring to Har Sinai, to the Matan Torah. And when it says Ba'al Moed, it's referring to the Binyan HaMishkan. And there's two aspects of our Avodas Hashem that are being discussed. Our being Mekabel the Torah on Har Sinai, and our doing the Avoda in the Mishkan. Okay, again, that's a very nice explanation, but the explanation needs an explanation. Agree? Finally, number four. So we have, what do we have so far? We have Redufa Leilech Lebeis Aviyah, number one. We have Gadol Talmud Shamevi Lidei Maisa, number two. We have Midbar Sinai and Ohel Moed, number three. And finally, number four is a Rashi that we discussed more than once. Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Rashi says, in front of them, you're allowed to bring your mishpatim in front of a bezdin, but not in front of Goyim. Not in front of Eloi lifnei oivdei kechavim. Not in front of Goyim, not in front of Goyish courts, not in front of Erka'os. And then Rashi throws a real surprise at us. And Rashi says, even if you know for sure that the court is going to paskin the same way. So it's still a Chilul Hashem. So the question is, what exactly is the Chilul Hashem of going to a Goyish court if the Goyish court is being machnia itself to being machnia itself to the Das of the Torah? So what's the Chilul Hashem? So I wanna touch that up. Okay, those are the four nekudas. The halacha.
Yeah.
The halacha of Erkos. Where is it? In the fourth parak?
The last parak.
In Hamagarish?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so let me tell you the Yisoid here, okay? The Yisoid is very, 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 very special. Very, very special Yisoid, and it's a very good Yisoid to think about heading out of Shavuos. The Yisoid is like this. The relationship of Torah to mitzvahs is 613 mitzvahs, and there's Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is like the engine that powers all 613 mitzvahs. It's the thing that unites all 613 mitzvahs. But let me explain to you what function Torah serves, okay? Torah serves the following function, okay? I think I once used this mashal, so it might be familiar. But if I would hire you to work for me, and I would tell you, you are going to be paid a ton of money, you have 613 responsibilities. Okay? So you'll do all 613 responsibilities. Okay, that's one level. But there's another level. The other level is, Zaki, if I hire you to do 613 responsibilities, they're not unrelated to each other. They're all different parts of a picture that form my vision of what I want you to do.
That's like what Rebbe said last week when your assistant wrote.
That's what I was trying
exactly.
to
say. Exactly.
Yeah, where you, like, you give him an overview instead.
So, but the giving of the Torah was like the mashal I gave. It's not a mashal, it's real. Now, the mashal, the assistant Rav is a mashal, but I used it then last week to explain the Rashi about saying all 10 dibros at the same time. But it's really a kloliistic thing about the Torah. Like, for example, we know the famous Chazal that says that Anoichi is Rosh HaTevis, Ano Nafshis Ksavis Yehavis. That Hashem says, I gave you my nefesh. Or we know the Chazal say, Kud Shabrichu V'Oiraisa Chadu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah are one. What is the point?
Where's
here?
That from?
What? It's a Zayir, probably. So the point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah, led us into his private world. That's what it is. When we learn Torah, we're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's private world. We're in the place of his vision, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intimate world. And once we have that, it lends itself to being mekayim the mitzvahs. Then you look at the mitzvahs not as random things that Hashem told us to do, but as an outgrowth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision that he shared with us. That's already a different feeling in doing mitzvahs. I'm not just doing mitzvahs because Hashem gave me a list and I'm checking off things on the list, but I'm doing mitzvahs because each one of these mitzvahs is an outgrowth of the intimate vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared only with us. Okay, making sense? Okay? If you look at it that way, so then we'll go backwards through the Ha'aras, and you'll see how unbelievable it is the fact that we have the schus to learn Torah. Our schus to learn Torah is so intimate. I'm saying there's one bracha in davening that talks about Hashem's love for us. Which bracha is that? Avarabba. What's the subject of Avarabba?
Torah.
Limudat Torah.
That
is where we share the love. Exactly.
Wow.
That is where we share the love. I want to tell you something. When you open a Masechta, this is the mashal that I thought of over Shavuos. It brought tears to my eyes, okay? When you open up a Masechta, so it has a shahr blat, okay? You have the shahr, right? It has a shahr blat. Before you, in any Gemara, when you open it, it has the shahr. Here, this is what I want us to do, okay? And this is not inaccurate. This is 100% on point. When you take your Gemara to learn, open it up and look at the Sharblat and tell yourself, this Sharblat is the door of the Yichud room. And now I'm in the Yichud room with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's me and Hashem. It's an intimate connection between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody else is invited. The whole the nations of the world are outside. The nations have some mitzvahs, but they're all outside of this sharing the vision. In fact, Zaki, because you remember the shtickle, I want to give you a reward, okay? I want to give you a reward. And the reward is that I want to show you how that shtickle answers one of the most profound kashas on Matan Torah. I wasn't planning on saying this, but because you said it, you inspired me, and I want to share this with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give the Torah. He goes around to the nations of the world, right? And he tells them, do you want the Torah? So let's say Esav says, what does it say in it? So Hashem says, it says you're not allowed to kill. So they say, oh, we love to kill. We can't take it. Okay, fine. So Esav didn't get the Torah. Now they're allowed to kill?
No.
So either way, they're not allowed to kill. So what did it help that they didn't get the Torah? Yishmael said, what does it say in it? Hashem said, you're not allowed to be Mizana. They're like, oh, we love Znos. Oh, okay. I don't want the Torah. Oh, really? Arias is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach?
Oh, you're saying they're still held accountable for it. They can't accept it. Hashem didn't want them to sin. I'm not sure.
But it's still part of, they're still just as obligated. It's a good kasha, right? What does it say in it? It says something that anyway you're mechuyev to do. Oh, then I don't want it. They're like...
Well, it's a mental thing.
You know, okay, but that's not a good answer when you're talking about speaking to the malach of an ummah. But what we're saying now is the answer. The answer is that being makabel the Torah is not just doing the actions. It's accepting the vision. It's absorbing the value system. It's not enough to not kill. You have to be a not kill person. You have to accept that value system. That's who you are. You hear what I'm saying? When Hashem opens up to us, he shares his nefesh with us. He shares the value system of course, it's a lifetime of work for us. We work on it also. How many times we have in the Torah that, how many times we have in the Torah, you know, things that it says in the Torah that we feel like, oh, that's a bit strong, you know, or that's all, or, you know, whatever it is that we have to work to mold our minds into the, like we talked about last week a little bit, to mold our minds into the das of the Torah. But we're capable because Hashem brought us into that intimate world. Esav said, what does it say in it? Hashem said, don't kill. Esav was like, I'm having a hard enough time with the action of not killing. You want me to buy into the value system of not killing? The ratzayin of not killing? The intimacy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values life and not killing? I can't do that. You ever have someone tells you, like, I can go along with what you're saying, but don't expect me to believe in it.
Is it too antithesis for them?
So that's what the... And Yishmael's the same thing. Yishmael also, like, it says not to be mezana. Yishmael's like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to accept a worldview that doesn't include Znus? I can't do that. That's a good answer, right? Just agav. So that's the pshat of the Arkais that you just found us in the last parak of Gittin. That's the pshat. When Klal Yisrael goes to a guy to get a psak, even if they're getting a psak that fits with the Torah, but is the guy coming from that place that I saw Hashem's vision? No. That's a chilul Hashem. We are, you know, it's like... It's a great mashal forming in my mind now. Give me another second. Let's say this mashal, okay? Akiva, you go eat by someone's house who just got married. Okay? Not just, because he shouldn't be inviting you. You know, a few months later. Okay? We'll talk about how many months later.
But, I've been in the situation.
Okay. And you're friends with them, you know. You're friends, you know. You know. He's a good friend from yeshiva, maybe, and whatever. And you're polite to his wife. She's not your friend, but you're polite to her. And next day he comes over to you in yeshiva. He says, Akiva, I need to ask you something. I have a big decision to make, and I want to know if you have any advice how I could speak to my wife about it.
A little weird.
So you'd be like... You're asking, like, I had a Shabbos suda by you. Like, you know, I'm not bizarre, inappropriate, whatever word you want to say, but that's not. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. Me and you, and imagine the wife responding to that. Imagine the wife finding out about that. She's like, you and I married each other. You're going to ask your friend what I would think? So isn't that great, Mashal? To going to Ubay Sa'ilam and saying, okay, you're going to be mechaven to the Das of the Torah. That's very nice, but we don't have an intimacy. The Ubay Sa'ilam don't have an intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do. We don't go to the Ubay Sa'ilam to get a psak on something that we share an intimacy with the Rabbani Shalom. That's the answer. That's number four. Okay? Because that's what Torah does. Torah feeds our actions in a way that our actions aren't regular actions. They're actions that come from having seen the vision, having been exposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, being in the Yichud room with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Let's go back to number three. Number three was, what's B'midbar Sinai B'Oyel Mayed? Rabbi Isai, B'midbar Sinai B'Oyel Mayed is your life. Nothing more, nothing less than your life. Think about what life is supposed to be. Life is supposed to be that there's a part of your life that's learning Torah, that's connecting, that's being intimate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing else. It's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah that you're learning. There's nothing else. It's in the Yichud room. But then you also have a wife and kids and a job and a life and neighbors and a community and a shul, and you have a lot of pieces. You have a makom of avoda. It's not just all about learning Torah. There's also a makom of avoda. And those are the two things that are Avodas Hashem. Your private time with Hashem, which for the rest of your life you'll always be kaveya to have private time with Hashem when you're learning His Torah, which you don't let anything get in the way of, because that's your private time with Hashem. And then you have your Ayel Mayed time. You have your time where you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, where you make a parnasa like the Shulchan, or you daven like the Mizbeach, and so on and so forth, that you're involved in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Chumash Bamidbar starts B'midbar Sinai. That's Torah in a midbar, you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. That's the Yichud room, B'Oyel Mayed. And then you transfer that into action. And you walk into the Oyel Mayed. Your Oyel Mayed will be your house in Meretz Hashem, or where you work, and so on. That, all of that is your Oyel Mayed, right? Like you've ever heard that your home is like your own Beis HaMikdash. That's your makom of avoda. So that's number three. Okay, let's go back to number two. What did I ask you about the instruction manual on the car? So I said, right. So the Gemara says, Gadol Talmud shemevi lidei maisa. Talmud is great that it brings lidei maisa. So we asked, like, no, that doesn't make Talmud great. That makes maisa great. like Shalom, you would say, like, if anything, it's the opposite. That makes Maisa great. No, the pshat is like this. It doesn't say Gadol Talmud that because of it you know how to do the Maisa. No. It says Gadol Talmud that it brings you to Maisa. You don't just do Maisim because you were given a list of things to do. You do Maisim because you were in the Yichud room with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you saw what's precious to him. Gadol Talmud, learning Torah is special because it lends itself to Maisa. Because it produces Maisa. Because when I act and I do the mitzvahs, I'm not just randomly doing mitzvahs like a guy does mitzvahs. I'm doing mitzvahs because I come from a place of intimacy. I come from Torah. Okay? Which, by the way, which this means is that this will bring us, that was number two, now we're going to get to number one. This brings us back to the first Ta'ara. Okay? I want to tell you a yisayid. There's two ways that you could do a mitzvah. The yisayid is obvious based on everything we just said. There's two ways you could do a mitzvah. You could do a mitzvah, that's the mitzvah that you're supposed to do. You know, it's time to shake a lulav, you shake a lulav. It's time to keep Shabbos, you keep Shabbos. That's one way to do a mitzvah. That's very, very, very chashuv. But there's a much higher form of doing a mitzvah, and that is, I'm doing the mitzvah because it's the pinnacle of my learning. It's what comes out from my being in the yichud room. Like, for example, if a husband and wife spend time with each other, and the wife tells the husband, could you please go to the store and buy me this book? So, of course, a good husband will go to the store and buy his wife that book. That's very nice. Okay, it's very good. Very good husband. But what if the wife shares that she admires a certain author? And she shares that, so she doesn't tell that to everyone, but she shares it with her husband that she admires this author. And he's in a bookstore and he sees that this author came out with a new book. See, he buys her the book. That's a different world, right? That's a different world, because that's not just, oh, you told me to do it, check, I did it. That's, I listened to what you love, and I acted based on that. So when you learn, next year we'll learn Masechta Pesachim. So you learn Masechta Pesachim the whole winter's man, and then you go into Pesach, and you learned a little Arvei Pesachim and a little first parak of Pesachim and second parak of Pesachim, and you now know the inyanim of Pesach, and you come in, you're not just doing check, check, check. You spent some intimate time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning about his Ratzon, and now you're doing it. It's a different kind of action, right? It's different. Okay? Rav Huttner writes in a Maimer, Rav Huttner writes an unbelievable thing. Rav Huttner writes that when you do a mitzvah, there's a way that you can tell which kind of mitzvah it is. Is it a check-off mitzvah or is it an intimacy mitzvah? There's a way that you can tell. There's something that will happen when you do the mitzvah that will give you a simon of how you're doing the mitzvah. And that is, do you have does doing the mitzvah end with a desire to going back to learn? If when you finish the mitzvah, you have a desire to go back to the Beis Medrash and now continue learning, so then you know it was an intimacy mitzvah. You know that you were holding, like this was a result of the intimacy. Now I want to go back and speak to my wife some more. Now I want to go spend more time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it was just a check-off thing, then you've checked off your check. It has nothing to do with Torah. Of course, it has something to do with it, but it's not like related to the intimacy of Torah. You were told to do something and check. You did it. So that's what he says. When I read that in Pachad Yitzchak, I said to myself, that's the Gemara in Ksubas. Unbelievable. The Gemara in Ksubas says that she's in her father-in-law's house or her husband's house. That's like where she does her avodah. That's where she does the laundry and she takes care of the house and that's her makkah, that's like her oyel mayeh. That's where she does the avodah. But when she does it properly, bishleimus, she does it as a result of the intimacy of her relationship, then she feels redufa, then she feels a pressure to go back to her father's house. What's her father's house? That's where she learned all of this. That's the source, that's the Beis Medrash. Says the Marsha, going from the husband's house to the father's house is a mushal of going from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis HaMedrash. Going from the place of action, the Beis HaKnesses is like the Mokem of Avodah, like the Oyel Moed, where I dive into Hashem about the things I need in my life, and the Beis HaMedrash is the Yichud room. That's the place of intimacy, and that's what the Gemara means. She's Redufa Leilech, the Beis HaMedrash. That's the shear that I wanted to that I wanted to give over today. And I think that there's a very, very practical thing that comes out from it. And that is that a lot of times we measure our learning in very, very, very practical ways. Like, sometimes a person feels like, I learn and learn and learn and I don't remember it. So what's the point? I give up. I don't really understand it so well. I give up. And first of all, that itself is not a good taina. There's a medrash that someone who learns Torah is like pouring water into a keli that has a hole on the bottom. They keep forgetting. So it goes in and goes back out. It feels like it's a waste of time. But the medrash says it's not a waste of time because the keli ends up clean. So that's what the Gemara says. Even if all the Torah that I learn goes right out, but it cleanses me in the process. And that's worth it. So anyway, it's not true. But even so, even if we'll say that, even without that, based on what we're saying now, there's something about being in the Yichud room with Hashem. You sat here now, you're learning Gittin. I love that the guys are learning Shtar Gittin now. You know why? Because we're on Daf Chaf. Where do you think we're going to get up to before the end of this month? Chaf. Maybe Chaf Aleph, if a miracle happens. Right? We're not finishing the Masechta. We're not finishing the Perek. So it's kind of like, we'll learn another little Gemara. No. I'm in the Yichud room. Every line of Gemara, I don't care. Every line of Gemara, you know, especially you guys who are sitting here in a room that's emptier than it's been, and you're sitting here, you're like, everyone else ran out of the Yichud room. I don't know why you would do that. I'm not running out of the Yichud room. I'm here. And if I could learn another line of Masechta Yitin, Daf Chaf, it doesn't matter. I'll learn Masechta Zvachim, Daf Chaf, if you want. It's my chance to spend time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm spending time with Hashem. I'm attaching my mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kaviyachal, to His essence. Kutshabricho v'ayrei sachadu. And that's something that a person has to walk around with a certain pride and a certain joy, that we're in the Yichud room with Hashem. We're not regular Avdei Hashem. It's a different world, a person that's learning Torah. So just a different world. And it's a big chizuk for us, even as we head out, you know, the end of the year. We want to stay in the Yichud room. No matter what it takes, we want to stay in the Yichud room. No matter how busy we are, we want to put our foot into that Yichud room every single day. This is important for us, because it's not just about information. It's not just about the external things. It's an identity thing. It's who I am. I'm a person who sits in the Yichud room with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what, and the truth is that every single one of you that's here, that's what defines you. It's being here this week is not, it's not just, you did a good thing this week. You know, Akiva keeps saying, I didn't have anything to do anyway, you know. But but it's more than that. It's a defining moment for you. You define, whether you like it or not, you're defining yourself as one of Hashem's intimate people. You're one of Hashem's special avodim. It's your identity, you know. And it should be a big schus and carry over and spill over into all areas of our lives. Okay, Yashikayach.